Elizabeth Edwards, an attorney, healthcare activist, and author of the book Resilience, wrote, "She stood in the storm, and when the wind didn't blow her way, she adjusted her sails." This begs the question, what if resilience isn't about being unbreakable, but being able to bend without disappearing? Welcome to Zero Meaning, where we unravel words, redefine perspectives, and empower healthy change. I'm your host, Zero, and in each episode, we explore the roots and evolution of the language we use every day, clearing up misconceptions and uncovering how these words shape our thoughts, our relationships, and the way we see ourselves and the world around us. Because I believe that when we start using our words more intentionally, we also start living more intentionally. We're diving into a word that's often romanticized, misused, and misunderstood: resilience. It's a word we hear tossed around in motivational posters, self-help books, and trauma recovery spaces. But what does it really mean? What did it originally mean? And more importantly, what have we made it to mean to our own detriment? Let's start with the roots of the word itself. Resilience comes from the Latin resilire, which means to leap back or to recoil. Re meaning back and salire meaning to jump or leap. So, at its core, resilience is about a return. Not just surviving pressure, but springing back from it. Before it was ever applied to people, though, it was a word used in physics and engineering. It was used to describe how a material returns to its original shape after being bent, compressed, or stretched. But humans aren't rubber bands. We don't just snap back because we're not machines. And that's where this idea gets complicated. Growing up, there are those of us that are taught that resilience is about being tough. It's about how tough something or someone is. We hear about grit and stoicism. Oftentimes, we hear things like, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger," "push through," or "keep grinding away at it." All three of these statements have had a serious unhealthy impact on many of us, and I believe society as a whole. Because what didn't kill me has left me with a whole lot of presence in the form of mental health concerns. I may have survived something truly traumatic and can walk around here acting as normal as I know how to, but I am definitely not thinking in a way that I have seen others who have not been through my trauma vocalize their thoughts. And here's the truth. Constant pushing isn't resilience. It's exhaustion wearing a cape. Real resilience includes the ability to rest. And if we can do this without feeling guilty, even better. The capacity to feel and still recover. And the wisdom to pause before burnout. I've known people who just need a good cry, and they're better afterwards. They just had a lot of pent-up emotions they couldn't let out for a short period of time. And they let it all out once they felt they were safe. I like to write poetry or listen to music that expresses the emotions that I'm feeling. Both work really well for me, and they're so therapeutic. Let's look at this from a scientific standpoint. The nervous system plays a huge role in resilience. But how? According to the polyvagals theory, which explains how the nervous system responds to perceived safety and threat, and how these responses impact our behavior, emotions, and thoughts, a resilient nervous system isn't one that never gets stressed. It's one that knows how to recover, kind of like cardio for the nervous system. Let's think of it like this. A healthy system swings into fight, flight, or freeze when needed. And it knows how to come back to safety, connection, and calm afterwards. And just like in the cardio comparison, recovery matters more than endurance. Example is that I walk 12 to 15 miles every day at my job, but my cardio was not very good. That's because I'm under a lot of stress, with pushing heavy objects around all day, with very little downtime. And there's not a lot of recovery going on until my shift is over. Here are some real-life thought changers that I would like you to use as often as it takes for them to really sink in deep. Crying is not weakness. It's a release. Resting isn't laziness. It's regulation. And going to therapy? That's nervous system maintenance. One thing that I had to learn the hard way is that resilience isn't about how long I can stay in survival mode. It's how quick and safe I can return from it. There was a time in my life when I thought resilience meant being silent. I thought that if I didn't show the emotional damage that others were causing me, then I was resilient. That when I survived another traumatic event without calling off work or needing a moment to recover, then I was resilient. I've watched people die for volunteering in a hospice where I got really attached to the patients and went about my day. I told myself that if I broke down, I would be dishonoring those I just watched pass away. And from living in really dangerous neighborhoods, I learned to keep silent as code that would keep me safe, no matter what was happening around me. But after all that, the only thing I did was make my nervous system numb by always being on alert, always in survival mode. I didn't know how to answer questions like, what do you want out of life, out of a relationship, out of living conditions? My only answers were related to surviving. I once prided myself in only having enough stuff to fit in a sea bag. I'm a Navy vet, so that's what we call it. I don't know anything about a duffel bag. So when I felt heartbreak, I swallowed it. When I felt anxiety, I would try and outpace it. And when I felt abandoned, or even the threat of being abandoned, I shut down. These reactions made me feel strong, like I was untouchable. At least that's what I was presenting to the world. But the moment I began to explore softer coping, like going to therapy and actually doing the work, journaling honestly, there are times I've even cried for release. I realized that I hadn't been bouncing back. I was hiding inside, not letting anyone see the true carnage that was my inner self. An amazing realization for me was that resilience wasn't found in silence. It came the moment I said, I need help. Okay, let's talk about another aspect of resilience. We often don't scratch beneath the surface with those around us, like how we often praise marginalized communities for their resilience. And here's the thing, that praise often replaces actual support. I'm going to say something that just might be a little controversial. Saying, you're so strong, to someone who's been abandoned by family, friends, or systems, isn't a compliment. It's a mask we place over them in order to feel comfortable interacting with them. Resilience becomes a way to celebrate endurance while ignoring the harm that demanded it. I want to urge everyone to be mindful. Let's not praise people for what they had to survive. Instead, let's ask them something like, how can I help you feel safe enough to not have to be so resilient anymore? Or am I able to support you today? So what is resilience then? We know that it's not perfection, and we know that it's not endurance to the point of collapse. And we also know that it's not silencing our feelings just to look composed. Resilience is emotional elasticity, the ability to become stretched, stressed, and the ability to return the nervous system back to safe mode. It's rupture and repair, the ability to heal after hardship. And it's learning to fall apart safely and come back home, the ability to feel what needs to be felt in a safe environment, and the ability to return to a balanced emotional state once these emotions have been expressed in a healthy manner. It's bending, not breaking. And if you break, it's choosing to begin again. Resilience means giving yourself permission to fall, trusting that it's not the end of everything. If today's episode stirred something in you, I invite you to visit sconeandscribe.com, my quiet creative space where words become tools for healing. You'll find a growing collection of guided journals, ink and insight, breath and bone, and the one closest to today's theme, remorse and release, a 90-day guided journey through the emotional terrain of self-forgiveness. It's structured in three phases: remorse, reckoning, and release, created to gently hold the weight of grief, guilt, and growth for those learning to be soft with themselves again. There's also a free 7-day poetry prompt journal available to download for anyone needing a safe starting point to process what can't always be spoken out loud. And if you want a simple reminder to wear with you, check out our Resilient t-shirt on Etsy. It's subtle, meaningful, and rooted in the Latin etymology of the word resiliere, to leap back. Find it and more at my Scone and Scribe Etsy shop. Because resilience isn't just something you survive. It's something you grow into and carry forward with intention. I'll leave the links in the show notes. Okay, so let's make this personal for you. Ask yourself, where in my life am I mistaking rigidity for resilience? Where am I toughing it out when I really need rest? And where am I performing strength instead of seeking support? I also want to challenge you this week. Choose one restorative reminder, something that helps you come back to yourself. That could be something like journaling before bed, taking a long shower without having a goal in mind, or calling someone who sees the real you. You don't have to prove your strength by how much you carry. Instead, let your strength be seen in how you return. Before we go, I would like to reflect a little on what we've gone over so far. You're a living, breathing, adapting soul. Your softness is not a flaw. It's a stronger survival strategy. So here's your reminder. You don't have to earn rest through collapse, and you deserve to be supported before you break. Well, that's it for today's episode of Zero Meaning, where we unravel words, redefine perspectives, and empower healthy change. Remember, words shape the way we think, and the way we think shapes the way we live. So choose your words wisely, question what you've been told, and never stop seeking the truth beneath the surface. Until next time, stay curious, stay mindful, and keep redefining meaning.